ルカの福音書1章26節から38節を日本語でお読みします。ところでその6ヶ月目に御使いガブリエルが神から使わされてガリラヤのナザレという町の一人の処女のところに来た。この処女はダビデの家系のヨセフという人の言い名付けで名をマリアと言った。御使いは入ってくるとマリアに言った。おめでとう恵まれた方、主があなたと共におられます。しかしマリアはこの言葉にひどくとどまって、これは一体何の挨拶かと考え込んだ。すると御使いが言った。怖がることはないマリア、あなたは神から恵みを受けたのです。ご覧なさい、あなたは身ごもって男の子を産みます。名をイエスとつけなさい。その子は優れたものとなり、意図高き方の子と呼ばれます。また神である主は彼にその父ダビデの王位をお与えになります。彼は常しえにヤコブの家を治め、その国は終わることがありません。そこでマリアは御使いに言った。どうしてそのようなことになり得ましょう。私はまだ男の人を知りませんのに。御使いは答えて言った。聖霊があなた方の上に臨み、意図高き方の力があなたを覆います。それゆえ生まれるものは聖なるもの、神の子と呼ばれます。ご覧なさい、あなたの親類のエリサベツもあの年になって男の子を宿しています。不妊の女と言われた人なのに、今はもう6ヶ月です。神にとって不可能なことは一つもありません。マリアは言った。本当に私は主のはしためです。どうぞあなたのお言葉通り好みになりますように。こうして御使いは彼女から去っていった。
To the English reading, Luke 1:26-38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Merry Christmas. How's everyone doing? Good, good, good. It's good to see all of you. It was such a blessing hearing Chelsea and Nate sing. It sounded very professional. And what they don't know is, as they were singing up here, Noah was singing word for word back there. Perfect, on note, on key. He's very, very talented. Not that I have a year for those kinds of things, but I know when something's not good, you know. But Noah was very good. He's very good. Anyway, thank you so much for doing that. Again, Merry Christmas. It's good to see all of you here. Some from very far. Thank you guys for being here. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent. And the theme for the fourth Sunday is peace. A very fitting theme for us, I believe. We live in a world where safety, peace, isn't much of a problem. We live in such an advanced civilization where we literally have smartphones in our pocket with access to just about anything we want in terms of information. And even connection, we're so connected in so many different ways, but it seems though the numbers continue to rise when it comes to things like depression or loneliness, and even worse, suicide rates continue to be on the rise, even though we have so much outward peace, especially here in America. And so what is peace? What is peace? Is it simply just an inner tranquility? When the Bible, it talks about peace, a lot of times it's not necessarily inner peace, even though I think that's very important to have as well. But when the Bible talks about peace, it talks more about peace with God. Peace with God. Peace with one another, peace with our neighbor, and especially peace with God. Do you have peace with God today? Is that something you have? The peace of God came through a man named Jesus Christ. In fact, one of his titles is called the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. One reason why he's the Prince of Peace is he has removed the wrath of God that was upon humanity. He has removed the wrath of God that was upon humanity. And I think it's a blanket statement to upon all humanity, where all humanity now has a choice. Whether to have peace with God in terms of not just the removal of the wrath of God, but to have peace with God in terms of partnering with God to fulfill all the promises of God. Now all of us, I believe, has the sort of sense that there is no more wrath looming over our head. If you do have that feeling, I do recommend that you find a good pastor to talk about. If you're very anxious about the wrath of God, I do invite you to come speak with me. But most of us, we don't struggle with that. We don't struggle with the wrath of God is upon me, I need peace. However, I think the removal of the wrath of God and the world we live in, the society we live in, the culture we live in, a lot of times the promises of God in and through our lives, shall I say, perhaps get aborted for something else. Something we choose to do rather than having God choose to work through us. And here we come to the story in Luke, the birth or the announcement of the birth of Jesus given to this young virgin. Some say, you know, around 13 or 15, very young. And it says in verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and Elizabeth is Mary's aunt, I believe, and Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist, just so you know, John the Baptist. And Elizabeth is right about the cusp of beginning to show her baby bumps, if you will, and an angel comes. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I just want to say this, that God's promises are fulfilled through those whom he chooses. God's promises are fulfilled through those whom he chooses. Whether it's a desirable promise like Mary's here, or an undesirable promise, God will fulfill it through you and I. God's promises are fulfilled through those whom He has chosen. The more desirable promises are fulfilled through those who He highly favors, and not necessarily those who are highly favored here on earth. There's a difference. There's a difference between those God highly favors and those the world highly favors. If you notice here, Mary, her name's not even given until a lot of descriptions are given about her. This is Jesus' mother. Most of us know this. But if you notice the opening sequences, first the town is given. Nazareth. Most of us may know that Nazareth is a notorious town for being very country, if you will, poor. People in the Gospels made fun of Nazareth, the town Jesus was born in. Town in Galilee. She was also a virgin, not married, and also young. Pledged to be married by a man named Joseph. Now Joseph, to some degree, has some pedigree. He is a descendant of David. Mary, at this point, we don't know of her pedigree. She probably didn't have very much going for her, especially if you're living in Nazareth. And finally, we're given the name, the virgins. Again, the virgin is mentioned twice, was named Mary. Mary is a young girl living in a small town. A town with a poor reputation. And she's finally going to be rescued by this man David. This man Joseph, a descendant of David. Joseph probably was not wealthy though. He was a carpenter by trade. But at least he had a royal pedigree. Now imagine this. Finally, you're going to get out of your situation, and an angel comes and said, you're going to be with child. The first thing Mary said is, wait. I've never been with a man. And probably, wait. I'm just about to be married. You're ruining my plans. This is not a very opportune time for you to come and tell me this, Gabriel. It says Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary was greatly troubled by these words. Have you ever been greatly troubled by God's promises in your life? Have you ever been greatly troubled by the timing God has on your life? I believe most of us here will love to be used by God. Amen? We will love to fulfill the promises of God in and through our own lives. But a lot of times, His promises comes when He chooses and not when we choose. When He chooses and not when we choose. When it comes, we should be ready. Even if it greatly troubles us, we should be ready. Just like Mary, greatly troubled her. Greatly troubled her wedding plans. If you've ever been through the wedding process, you know how stressful that can be. And imagine God telling you, well, you're going to get pregnant before you're married now. not a very ideal promise to be fulfilled through you at an ideal time. But Mary was chosen. Mary was chosen. Did you know you and I are also chosen? Do you know it feels good to be chosen? Yes? Mm-hmm. Have you ever not been chosen before? It doesn't feel good not to be chosen. It feels great when someone says, I choose you, especially if you're the first one chosen. Mary was chosen. And Mary was chosen because she found favor with God. You know, there are those who are born with God's favor. There are those who are, even before they're born, God's favor is upon them. Even before they do a single thing, God's favor is upon them, and God chooses them. While there are others who live their lives in such a way that God says, I choose this person. So here, for example, Jesus, even before he did a single thing, of course, he was chosen by God. We know that. We go to Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist. Even before John the Baptist did one single thing, God chose John the Baptist. You see, some of the prophets say the same thing. Jeremiah said, even before I was knit in my mother's womb, Jeremiah was chosen before he did a single thing. But here, Mary, it doesn't say that about Mary. Gabriel didn't say, Mary, before the foundation of the world, God chose you. It could have been. I don't know. I'm going on, on a limb, but it does say here, Mary, you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. God found you and found you to be favorable. God was looking for someone, and Mary, you are chosen, you found, you have been chosen because you were favorable in God's eyes. I believe God still is looking for those who will birth His promises. I believe God is still looking at our lives and weighing, this man, he has been faithful. If you ever want a promotion in your job, just be faithful. Don't just be on time, get there early. Don't just do the bare minimum, do some more. And eventually, a boss that takes notice of these things, he will promote you. I mean, that's just a natural thing, right? It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. If you're late, if you're not there, sometimes you're there, sometimes you're not there. You call in, you know, Super Bowl, oh, of course, this guy's going to call in sick. Probably won't get that raise, promotion. I believe it's very similar in the kingdom of God. God is just searching for those who are faithful. Faithful in the small things, whatever it may be. You know, there was this one time this guy came up to me and he said, you know, I think God wants to do something great in my life. I said, good, great. Just show up to church early. Set up the chairs. You know, do that for a couple of months. He didn't do that. He didn't come early. He didn't set up the chairs. He really felt that God wanted to do something great in his life. And I believe God can, and I believe if the person is right, God will. But how many of us can do just the simple things? You know, I went on a mission trip one time to New York. This is after 9/11. And I was, you know, I didn't think I was going to do anything great in this mission trips, but it's always fun to go on a mission trip. Has anyone ever gone on a mission trip? If you have not gone on a mission trip, I highly recommend going on a mission trip. It's very rewarding in a lot of ways. But I went on a mission trip after 9/11 to New York City, and there was this restaurant that was, they closed down the restaurant and they just made it into a place where firefighters and police officers, they could come in, just sit down and have a meal. And our team, this was San Fernando Valley Holiness Church at the time, sent a couple of us there, and we went to this restaurant where it was closed down for the firefighters and the police officers. And some of us, we got to do some really cool stuff. We got to meet the firefighters and shake their hands. We got to serve them the food. You know, that's the fun stuff, doing that. But some of us, we got sent in the back. I got sent in the back. And there was this guy named Angelo, the kitchen cook, and he said, "Man, I haven't had help in so long, and I've been so busy that the kitchen is such a mess." And he said, "Can you help me clean up?" I said, "Sure, I can help you clean up." And so all I did that whole day was clean his kitchen. And it was such a mess. I had to like take the rubber floorings off and like spray it down and just rub down, do the dishes, rub down some of the stoves and all these other things. I was all greased up and, you know, just getting dirty. I didn't know. I didn't mind. That's what I was doing. And for the whole day, and we were done. And afterwards, everyone had a great time. And I went back with the team. And there was another, we met some other people to help. And when we got out, she was like, "Oh, I thought you were one of the workers there. I didn't know you were one of the missionaries because you're like getting all dirty." And I took that as a compliment, you know. That was great. I'm glad she thought I was one of the workers. And God promoted me to be a pastor now. I'm not just kidding. That's how you get promoted. No, but are you faithful with the little things? Do you have to be noticed all the time? Or do you just do simply because God tells you to do it? Or simply because that's where you are? That's what God called you to do. Mary, I believe, was a young woman who was full of integrity. I believe she was full of faithfulness, full of trustworthiness. I believe when God was looking for someone to just simply have a baby and not go too crazy, to have the Son of God in them, He looked at Mary and said, "This is someone I trust." And even after she gives birth, "This is someone I trust who will feed the baby, burp the baby, clean the baby, sleep the baby, and repeat the process." It's not rocket science, but I've never had a kid, but I'm sure it's not easy to do that. I'm sure it's not easy. But it does take someone that would be trustworthy to do that. And to do that with the Son of God, Mary was chosen. It said, "Mary, you have found favor with God." And I still believe that God is looking for those to birth His promises with those who find favor with God. Because there are those who are, even now, pregnant with the promises of God. Some of us are pregnant with the promises of God. But if we're not faithful, there's no guarantee the promises of God will be birthed in our lives. And even when it's birthed, there's no guarantee that we'll be faithful when it's just a baby infant form. Many of us, we want the promises of God to be the great Savior of the world. the one that could turn water into wine when it's simply at the stage of clean, burp, feed, sleep, repeat. Of course, Jesus will become the Savior of the world. But before he became 33, there was a mother there that was taking care of this Savior of the world. And each and every one of us, I believe, have the promise of God in our lives that we probably have to clean, feed, burp, sleep, and repeat faithfully every day, no vacations. Going back to the story, Mary is perplexed. "How would this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary was, "I can't be pregnant. I've never been with a man." I'm glad this happened 2,000 years ago, because now, you know, I guess you can't have birth without being with a man, right? Modern technology, yes, in vitro, you could actually do this now. But at Mary's time, this could not have happened except for one way. But I do want to say this: God's promises would never fail. Amen. God's promises will never fail. Even when we fail, God's promises will never fail. And he's looking for people. I believe he's still looking for people to fulfill them through. God's word is the most powerful force. One of the most powerful force in this world. His word, the Bible claims, is what brought shape and form to this world. His word is just powerful and creative. It calls things forth. It will not be stopped by any earthly circumstances. So Mary here was perplexed. How can this be? This is physically impossible. There's no possible way that this can happen. But when God says something, it happens. When God promises something, it will be fulfilled. Honestly, it might not be fulfilled in our lifetime here on earth. But did you know God is more concerned of what happens after this life here on earth? In fact, most oftentimes I believe the time here on earth is simply to test us, to see and to prove if we will be faithful and trustworthy for the age to come, when there are true riches, when in God's eyes there will be true responsibility and repercussions. And I love how Mary answers the Lord here. Mary simply says, "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. In such an inconvenient time of her life, in such an impossible promise given to her, Mary simply says, in such a brilliant way, "I am the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled." I am the Lord's servant. May it be so. I believe God is looking also for people with that kind of attitude. A similar attitude toward God and towards His Word. That Jesus Christ, He has fulfilled the promise of removing the wrath of God over our lives, but Jesus Christ, I believe, is still looking for those who will fulfill the promises yet to be fulfilled here on earth. And He's looking at you and I saying, who is trustworthy? Who is faithful? Who has that attitude? The same one my earth mother, my birth mother had. To loosely tie this back with peace, I believe that's where the peace of God is found. That's where the peace of God is found. No longer in fear of the punishment of God, but the peace of God is with partnering with God. And the peace of God oftentimes looks different than the peace this world has to offer. It's partnering with Him. Fulfilling the promises He has for us. And a lot of times the fulfillment of the promises He has for us will transform the people around us. It will transform this world. Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for the peace that You have made between us and the Father. Jesus, it was through You that we can have peace. Father, I pray right now for those of us who are not experiencing the peace of the removal of the wrath of God, that You would speak to us individually. Speak to our hearts, Lord. And Father, for those of us who have lost sight of Your promises, that You would speak to us, Lord. Call us back, Father, to the promises that You have given us. Lord, help us see the importance of being faithful. Even in the mundane, Lord, that we would be faithful. Even in the things that are not exciting, that we would be faithful. To the things that seem unimportant, that we would be faithful. Father, I pray that we would be faithful and trustworthy, Lord. And most importantly, Father, may we continue to do this in Your perfect love. We thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.